You're listening to the Dennis Prager Show. Welcome. How many times a year do we do this, dear producer? How many? Twice a year, I save lives. I mean that literally. That is how important I consider the following hour to be. And I mean physically save lives. I'm not talking metaphorically or poetically or morally or politically or economically. I'm talking literally because by good fortune, as it happens in life, I came into contact with Dr. Michael Richman, who I will formally introduce in a moment. And I have learned a fair amount about my own health and about the health of others. And what he does, and remember, this is not an infomercial. He doesn't advertise on any of my stations, on any of my shows. This is done solely to help you, my listener, because he has helped me and so many others that I know, in fact, just about everybody in my extended life. And we recently had within my world, a dear friend and associate had a heart attack, and it didn't make sense. Why would a man who has been a vegetarian for so long, who is truly thin, who practices yoga and is very self-disciplined, exercises, why would he have a heart attack? And how, here's the most significant, very low cholesterol. Why would that happen? Now, you could say, well, it's just in the genes. Yeah, but there is something else, and I have told you about this. And we will be talking to Dr. Richman about this, because that's always where we begin. The test that I need you to have, there is no financial interest here. It is entirely, I wish there were, frankly. I would love to invest in this test, because there's nothing like doing good and doing well at the same time. So if there were an opportunity, I would, but thus far it has not arisen. And I will tell you about it in a moment. Dr. Michael Richman is a cardiovascular surgeon, and he is the founder of the Center for Cholesterol Management in Los Angeles. And his website, is he contactable through DennisPrager.com, or should we just? It's all up at my website, or you could go straight there at LipidCenter.com. But it's probably easier to go through DennisPrager.com. Dr. Richman has brought in a sheet with my numbers, and he has a big smile. By the way, to get a smile out of Dr. Richman with regard to your health is almost like getting a laugh out of my producer. It is not common. Well, that for a little bit later. Dr. Richman, welcome back to the Dennis Prager Show.
Thank you once again for having me.
You're a great guest, and you are a great doctor, and I have no reason other than believing that to say that. Could you describe, and of course we're not saying who he is, though I'm sure he would probably, in order to save lives, be okay with it, but I guess there are patient confidentiality matters, and so we're not saying who. But folks, believe me, I know this person very well. What happened here?
Well, let's just state some standard facts, and since, you know, I'm usually on from the 11 to 12 hour, you know, these are facts that maybe some listeners have not heard, but number one, cardiovascular disease is the number one killer in the United States, men and women. Every other tombstone, when you drive by Forest Lawn on the way here, every other tombstone is from a cardiovascular death, stroke, heart attack, aneurysm. So pretty dramatic, 50%.
Yep.
And the prevalence is going up, not
really,
down.
Really, really.
Despite doing more regular testing.
Mm-hmm.
Then the CDC states emphatically,
Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta.
Correct. That 50% of people who have heart attacks, whether it be fatal or not fatal, have, quote, normal cholesterol. In other words, standard cholesterol testing your regular doctor does is normal. However, some of the top cardiologists and physicians who practice lipidology, one of them is Dan Rader at University of Pennsylvania, who's a leader in the field, who writes that regular testing misses 50 to 60% of the variability in our population. In other words, 50% of people who have normal cholesterol really don't. In other words, we're testing the wrong way.
That's you, my friends. That's the point. That is the key point. He will make many points, but this is the one that I bring to your attention. In other words, am I being exactly precise in saying, in your view and now in mine, a huge number of people dying of heart-related incidents shouldn't be?
Oh, absolutely. First of all, I think retrospectively it's important because people walk around and other physicians, you know, 99% of the physicians don't even understand this because they don't teach it in school. But in 1967, Dr. Friedrichsen, who was head of the National Institutes of Health, National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute, wrote lead article in New England Journal of Medicine, the premier journal in the world, essentially, and we'll talk about the CARs, you know, a little bit, the lipoproteins. In other words, this is a lipoprotein, a CAR disorder, not a lipid, a cholesterol disorder. So what we'll be talking about are these lipoproteins. But in 1967, he said it. And still today, nobody gets it. This is not novel.
Well, you know, I always feel a little funny because I don't want to come across... Dennis, you do what you want, but I don't want to come across, certainly I'm not even a doctor, how could I, of saying doctors are missing the boat. But on this particular issue, I don't know what else to conclude. And as you say, they're not taught it.
Absolutely. You know, I just gave a free lecture. I worked all day. I drove down to Palm Springs, you know, I'm saying for free, you know, because I do mostly my lecturing for free. I drove down and I spoke to the Southern California Firefighters Chief Annual Meeting. So there were probably 35 or 48 chiefs there. Beverly Hills, Santa Monica, Rancho Cucamonga, Pasadena, Glendale. And I spoke about particle testing. What we do, I gave them a lecture because 48% of on-duty firefighter deaths in the United States are from a heart attack.
Okay? Right, not from smoke inhalation, not from firefighting.
It's heart attack.
Right. So now let me tell you, because I have mastered one thing in medicine, only one, explaining the car passenger difference. When I was measured for cholesterol, they measure passengers. And it's a terrific, it's not my analogy, it is Dr. Richman's, but I've mastered the delivery. and it's very simple. What causes highways to be clogged? The answer is not passengers. The answer is cars. Who cares how many passengers? If, after all the passengers got out of their cars and went into large buses, there would be no traffic jam. So the issue is cars. But we're measured for passengers. That's the cholesterol reading that 99% of you get. And I got. And so the man that we are talking about, this dear man in my life who had a heart attack, despite low cholesterol reading, remember that, a low cholesterol reading, and exercise, and vegetarianism, and thin, where does this come from? And sure enough, when measured, what's the punchline? When measured afterwards?
Well, the punchline is, after his heart attack, and he had his angioplasty, the doctor put him on a statin, you know, Lipitor, 40 milligrams, high-dose Lipitor, told him he was fine 4 weeks ago. Just got his lab results back yesterday. He's not even at goal the traditional way. If you're gonna, okay, here's a doctor, who's a cardiologist who doesn't even have a goal, but his particle number is extremely high.
That is the CAR number. The
correct.
Particle number is the CAR number. Go on.
Well, I'm gonna say, so the first problem we have going on here is lack of identification. Okay, if you do. What I do is it's essentially an MRI of the blood. It identifies every single person. Okay, so if you identify everybody, that's half the battle. Now, if they don't want to be treated, that's their own choice. But the first problem is lack of identification. So if we're missing half the population and half the people are dying in the United States of cardiovascular disease,
right.
It's a no-brainer.
It seems a terrible shame. I mean, more than a shame. It's terrible that it is not routinely measured, the particles. How to do that and much more coming up. If you have questions, Dr. Michael Richman, who's in practice in Los Angeles, He is a distinguished cardiovascular surgeon and founder of the Center for Cholesterol Management in L.A. You are listening to the Dennis Prager Show, 1-8-PRAGER-776. Hello, everybody. Dennis Prager, my biannual. Does biannual mean twice a year? What is the difference between biannual and biennial? We go through this twice a year, and I never get the right answer. But twice a year, I have Dr. Michael Richman. That's R-I-C-H-M-A-N. And it's funny because we will be talking about Richmond, Virginia. That plays a role in this, ironically. But it's not Dr. Richmond, Dr. Richman. And I welcome you back to the show, 1-8-PRAGER-776. It's sort of a holiday gift for you with Christmas coming up. We're in the middle of Hanukkah. To get your health better for the new year. That's the only purpose of this, because I saw what he has done to my, what we call numbers in the blood tests that I get, and every one of you should be getting. And then when a dear friend had a heart attack who had zero symptom, zero. Just as, I always forget his name, that wonderful broadcaster.
Well, Tim Russert, yeah, and then Russert, Andrew
again,
Breitbart.
Yeah, again, these people with no symptoms. And Andrew Breitbart.
And Michael Clark Duncan.
Yes.
He dropped dead recently.
Yes. Now, is every death related to heart preventable? The idea is preposterous. But are vast numbers preventable? Yes. A lot of people would be alive, in my opinion, if they went to this doctor. I have no reason other than trying to help you to say this. But you don't have to go to this doctor. First of all, it's a national show. You're not going to fly to Los Angeles. What do people in Philadelphia do? What do they tell their doctor? I want what tested?
Well, you know what the big issue is. The big issue is education. First of all, if you don't understand this as a physician, and I would say to you 99% of physicians in the United States do not understand lipoproteins. They don't even understand advanced markers of inflammation, okay, that we do. That's a limitation. But let's say your doctor does. You can ask them and say that you want a lipoprofile, that you want basically an NMR, which is an MRI of the blood, to have your lipoprotein particles measured. Now, LabCorp does them and sends them to the lab, but the most comprehensive lab, and you know I'm not, you know, on their board or anything, they're a private company, is Health Diagnostic Laboratories in Richmond, Virginia. If it wasn't for this company and their business model, given that nobody's balance billed, as long as you have insurance or Medicare, I'm able to do tests that most people have never even heard of in academics, and people don't pay anything. And people would be dead in the water without this lab, because they're solely committed to the full scope of somebody's health. So the problem, though, comes in is I have people who can get this done, because you can get this done, and then call me from Philadelphia. And I'll have a phone conference with them and go over it and give them ideas. And what I would do, obviously, since I haven't performed a good faith history and physical, I can't prescribe anything by law, you know, business and professional code in California. I have to perform a good faith history and physical. But I certainly have plenty of people who can get this done and then call me and we go over it and they're blown away. Now, anecdotally is all I can tell you is, and you know this is only anecdotal, since 2005, since I've been doing this, and I'm sure I've lost people to follow-up who haven't come back, nobody who I see has had a heart attack or a stroke yet, okay? But you also know I treat extremely aggressively. So if you're going to get this and you're not going to use it as a management tool and manage all aspects of somebody's, you know, I manage everybody's diabetes, which most doctors don't, you know, as a cardiac surgeon. I manage everybody's diabetes. I manage everybody's high blood pressure. I manage pretty much everything.
So let's imagine, I know you do. I know you do. That's why you're on the show. I mean, to be honest, I'm sharing you because you're so good. So a listener of mine somewhere outside of L.A. or even in the L.A. area can have, you know, millions of people show up at your door. So what... They go to their doctor and say, I'd like a lipoprotein test.
I'd like a lipoprofile done, an NMR lipoprofile, okay, from liposcience, or I want my labs done and sent to health diagnostic laboratories in Richmond, Virginia.
What will the average, let's say, cardiologist say to this patient?
I don't know what the lab is, and I don't understand this lipoprotein concept.
And will he say, I want you to hear this on a radio talk show?
No.
No. In other words, will they dismiss it?
Well, yeah, but the sad thing is, a board-certified cardiologist, their governing body, remember, I'm a cardiac surgeon, is the American College of Cardiology. The American College of Cardiology and American Diabetic Association has a consensus paper. I have it on my website, published in 2008, that says anybody at risk with cardiometabolic risk, advanced testing is the standard, has to be done. Okay? So you have their governing body telling them
okay,
that this
that's
is the
important.
Standard of care.
That's very important.
And, you know, I think also in this, you know, I am humble and I'm not trying to toot my horn, but I'm sure there's listeners saying here, hey, this is a guy who's just trying to do, you know, I don't have a book. I don't sell snake oil. I, you know, in my office, the only thing I have is fish oil, but I'm academic. I'm on the editorial board of the Journal of Clinical Lipidology, which is the only peer-reviewed journal in lipidology. I'm a cholesterol expert and an editor on WebMD. I do clinical trials. So I'm not just Joe off the street who's sitting here today. As you know, you and I both have a commitment 100% to save lives. And you know, I mean, last night I got home from work after 10 o'clock. I ate at midnight the night before I got home after midnight. And yes, I still do surgery. Got home after midnight and I was making, sorry, but it was all that was in my house, kosher hot dogs on the grill at 2:30 in the morning because I needed to eat something, and was back up at 7, you know, at the office. So, you know, I'm solely committed to this because it saves lives. Doing heart surgery and doing angioplasty is a temporary fix. If you can prevent it, if you can prevent what causes atherosclerosis, and Dr. Friedrichsen said it perfectly, and we still...
In the 1960s.
67. And today, it's still called the Friedrichsen cholesterol classification. So if we're going to be dismissive of what he said, but yet we use his classification, mm-hmm. It's a pretty sad commentary.
Agreed indeed. 1-8-PRAGER-776. Take some calls. And then I want to ask you about your thoughts on medicine in general and medical schools, the doctors that we're producing, because I think we may have a crisis in America, but hopefully I'm wrong. 877-243-7776. You can go straight to the doctor's website, lipidcenter.com?
Correct.
L-I-P-I-D.
All or, free. You know, everything's free on there.
Right. Or you could go through DennisPrager.com. This is not an advertiser. I am literally trying to save your lives with him, who I believe may have well saved mine. That nobody could know, but he's come close if he hasn't actually done it. You are listening to the Dennis Prager Show. Hi, everybody, and a happy Hanukkah, which is we're in the middle of, and a Merry Christmas to you. I love the holiday season, and especially the Christmas season, because it makes a society different. A personal thank you to all of you who put home decorations up. Just want to say you help our society. And I live in an area that has them, but a lot of people in the L.A. area don't, because the big cities are much more secular. That's another subject for another time. Right now, as a holiday gift, and I mean that truly from the bottom of my heart, I present the doctor I have on twice a year, Dr. Michael Richman, R-I-C-H-M-A-N, who is a cardiovascular surgeon and who writes for peer-reviewed medical journals, and he is the founder of the Center for Cholesterol Management in L.A. And it just bothers me that people are dying. I mean, it bothers me a lot. People are dying when they didn't have to, as it were. There are certain things you can't prevent. We don't have an ability yet to prevent pancreatic cancer, to the best of my knowledge, or most cancers. But half of the tombstones, as he points out each time he's on, are not cancer and are not any disease. They are cardiovascular related, which I guess you can call a disease.
Well, remember one thing. You know, people don't know this. Familial hypercholesterolemia, okay, the form where you get one gene from one parent, is the most common genetic disease in the United States, affecting one in 300 to 500 people, okay? That's huge. Now, yes, that leads to premature events. The type, which is called homozygous familial hypercholesterolemia, where you get one gene from each parent, most of those people are dead by the time they're 30. And there really has been no treatment for it except a kind of dialysis. And at the end of December, a small company that was publicly funded and went public without any drugs, without any revenue, Agurion Pharmaceuticals finally is going to get FDA approval on the first drug for this type of familial hypercholesterolemia that everybody's dead, you know, in their 20s. But the run-of-the-mill version is 1 in 300 to 500 people. So this shouldn't be a surprise.
By the way, that raises a question, then I want to get to calls. A lot of people, certainly I felt this way, most people in their 20s and 30s think this stuff doesn't apply to me. And maybe it doesn't. Would you address that quickly?
That's absolutely wrong. Remember, back in the days when people had autopsies done and it wasn't so hard to do and they wanted their body to be looked at, 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, all the autopsy studies that were done that have given us so much information, atherosclerosis starts in infancy. They get little fatty streaks in their aorta, which is the big tube that comes out of the heart. So this starts right away. And it's a progressive disease. In one in three people, the first sign is sudden death.
And the last sign.
Correct.
All right. Let's go to Irvine, California. Patty. Hello, Patty. Dennis Prager and Dr. Michael Richman.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call. Dr. Richman, I wanted to ask you, when you identify a patient with high cholesterol and you begin to manage the disease, is there any benefit to genetic testing of Plavix, warfarin, or beta blockers for that patient?
Funny you should ask. I don't do, you know, I do warfarin gene testing. Like my father's on Coumadin for something. I do that. But my own personal belief is that we know that 20% of the population, I still am perplexed. And yes, it's a newer test why cardiologists don't do this, but 20% of the population is resistant to Plavix. Plavix, everybody's a drug. There's commercials. It's like an aspirin drug. If you have a stent, you automatically go on it with aspirin. Heart attack, stroke is resistant to Plavix, but yet we're putting people on it. So I have four patients who've all clotted their stents, and I tested their gene, and they're resistant to Plavix. The funny thing is the gentleman who we're talking about, Dennis's very close friend, his doctor was switching him this week from Effient, which is a great drug, and is the... to Plavix, and he's resistant to Plavix. We just found out yesterday. I tested the gene. So, yes, I think it's a great thing to just do and have in the back pocket.
We'll be back in a moment with Dr. Michael Richman. Info is up at DennisPrager.com. And I will make an ad for Pragertopia, because then you can hear this show and give it to others for $5 a month. Pragertopia.com. All righty, everybody, you're listening to the Dennis Prager Show. This is an hour that I believe will save lives. To know what to look for, I want you to restate, Dr. Michael Richman is my guest, cardiovascular surgeon, founder of the Center for Cholesterol Management, and my own doctor. And I'd like you to restate, you said a very interesting phrase earlier. You used an interesting phrase, MRI of the blood. Explain that.
Well, essentially, it's called nuclear magnetic resonance, and the simplistic term is MRI. So the way they're measuring particles is every substance has I'm trying to be simplistic.
Oh, no, without explaining. Just tell me what it measures.
Well, it measures the number of lipoprotein particles.
Which is the one that we're worried about. Is, right.
So
yes.
I'll say the analogy one more time, because remember, this is what I figured out in 2005 to explain it, and it's been tremendously helpful. You know, people have been walking in their doctor's office and saying, I want my cars measured, and if that alone. But so, like you said, on a freeway, what causes the traffic jam? The people or the cars, okay? And obviously, it's the number of cars. The cars transport the people. So the people would be analogous to the cholesterol, and the cars are the lipoprotein particles which drive them around. So if you can't drive the cholesterol around the body, because remember, cholesterol's an oil and blood's a water, and oil and vinegar salad dressing don't mix. So if you turn a bottle of oil and vinegar salad dressing on the side and I said, Dennis, get the oil to the right side of the bottle, how are you going to do it? So the body packages it in these spheres, these particles. Okay, so your good cholesterol, your HDL cholesterol is packaged in HDL particles. Your bad cholesterol, LDL cholesterol, is packaged in LDL particles. So we need to measure the vehicles that actually transport the cholesterol into the wall of the artery.
Right, but this MRI, as you call it, of blood does more than that. That we've established. I have pages and pages here in front of me of my own test.
Well, the other tests are not the MRIs.
Oh, okay. All right. And now where do you get those? Also Richmond, Virginia?
Right. Those, you know, I have my own panel. What I want to do, you know, there's brand new novel risk factors that have just been approved.
Mm-hmm.
I just showed you like something called cystatin C, which is elevated in everybody who has renal dysfunction, kidney dysfunction, before it's clinically apparent by what everybody uses in the world to measure your kidneys. So now we finally have a way to see, hey, maybe your kidneys aren't working properly.
All right. Talking about Philadelphia, let's go there. Dave. Hi, Dave. You're on with Dr. Michael Richmond and me, Dennis. Hi.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm curious to know about how do you, when you're checking the heart, instead of just checking for like a heart attack or a stroke, do you also check for a hypertrophic cardiomyopathy as well, too, as a symptom that could be a cause to a heart failure or heart disease?
Okay, let's find
out. I take care of cardiovascular disease. So, my patients get stress testing routinely. They get echoes. If you came in to see me and you were fatigued and had swelling in your lower extremities, and, you know, one of the symptoms of decreased cardiac function, yes, I would automatically get an echo, and that's echocardiogram, and I would see that you have dysfunction of your heart, and you're telling me you have hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, and, you know, yes, and that leads a lot of the time, that's what I've done heart transplants for, is hypertrophic cardiomyopathy.
Wow, you've done heart transplants?
Of course.
Wow. Okay.
Truthfully, that is, out of everything I've ever done, yeah. I cried on the first one.
Really?
First of all, as a heart surgeon, you literally and figuratively touch the soul, the essence of somebody every day, right? I'm physically putting my hands on them. But to go, and I had the good fortune of doing this because I had such a good relationship with my chairman and training at the University of Miami, to go, and unfortunately it's called the harvest. The person is kind enough who passed away to give us his organ, but he's still alive. The body's still alive. The brain is dead, but it's still a surgery. So to go take a heart from a living being, brain is dead, but I'm saying the body, so we're going to cut it out, put it in ice, jump on an airplane, go back to Miami, and put it in somebody who couldn't even get to the operating room. They're blue, and as you take the clamps off, you just look at their skin color. It's pink. The heart's pounding away. And in 5 hours, the breathing tube's out and they're talking to you. To me, that's a gift.
It is. I agree. Minneapolis and Ron. Hi, Ron. Dennis Prager and Dr. Michael Richmond.
Hey, guys, gentlemen. It's a pleasure to speak with you on this topic. I'm glad you're approaching this issue in a different light as compared to most physicians out there. And it's ironic that you're talking about this. I just got an email today. There was a study done. It says here the Framingham Heart Study has stated that low cholesterol is a big problem, not a solution, in that it causes heart disease. It also causes cataracts in a lot of people. And also, too, I was told by two good sources that read that low LDLs are really, it's a negative thing, and a total high cholesterol is not necessarily bad. And homocysteine, and tell me, doctor, if you agree with this, homocysteine should be also tested.
The important thing is Framingham in no way said that, okay? Framingham is one of the biggest studies. Framingham offspring study is an offshoot of it. No, it's lower is better. We know that. It's indisputable. And, yes, you heard it from sources, and Dennis and I have talked about it on the air. There are peer-reviewed journals, and there are what I call toilet journals, where you pay to have your article in, and you read it on the toilet. But there is no physiologic bad cholesterol. In other words, what a baby would be ideal is 10 to 30. Okay, they're alive. Now, I don't want to break Dennis's confidentiality, but if you want to tell them right now what your LDL cholesterol is.
Is that the top number there?
Yeah.
86?
No, 40.
Oh, 40, LDL.
Okay.
Yeah, 40.
His LDL, in order to get his particle number normal, the car's normal, his corresponding LDL cholesterol is 40. He's alive.
And well, back in a moment. Hi, everybody. Dennis Prager here with cardiovascular surgeon Dr. Michael Richman, the founder of the Center for Cholesterol Management in Los Angeles. Ken in Casa Grande, Arizona. Be fast, but I took you because I think it's important. Go ahead.
Yes, I had my lipoprotein test done 2 days ago, 2 weeks ago, and my cholesterol is normal, down in the 130 range. And my protein particles were up over 1,400, and I know the desirable level is 1,000 or less. So I'm the guy that, with a normal cholesterol panel, lipid panel, if you don't test for lipoprotein particles, you don't know that I'm in that risk factor.
And you're 38.
And there you go. 50 to 60% of the population is missed. So 1,400, based on the MESA study, puts you in about 60 to 65th percentile in the United States. You're worse than 65% of the population, yet your cholesterol is normal. So you go into the hospital, have a heart attack, they tell you it's normal. Guess what? It's not. And you know
how did you know to, how did you know to have this measured?
Because I work for LabCorp, and we provide that NMR test through LipoScience, so I wanted to get it done. And this is the second time I've had it done in 2 years, and I can see how that number's increased because I haven't increased my exercise.
Right, exactly.
HDL's
nothing else has changed. Exactly.
And I'm 38 years old.
That's right. God bless you for calling. God, that's right. And tragically, he could have had a heart attack 5 years from now, and everybody would have said, gee, why did that happen? Must have been genetic, because his cholesterol was low. I read that, doctor, you're a very big advocate of fish oil, and yet I read a study just recently, big study, fish oil doesn't help.
Yeah, quickly we need to address this because this is horrible that the media did this. Fish oil does not help. First of all, the biggest study, which was bigger than this one, the JELIS study out of Japan, J-E-L-I-S, there were 18,000 people on a statin at goal, their fish-based diet. They gave them a certain amount of fish oil. It reduced cardiovascular, non-fatal heart attacks and strokes 24%. Okay, now they take a study and they use fewer people, but from a bunch of studies, they did a meta-analysis, and they said in high-risk patients, it doesn't do anything. The problem is they didn't even give them the American Heart Association recommended dose of fish oil for a normal person. They gave them 700 milligrams of EPA and DHA a day, which you know, since you're a fish oil guy,
right,
that it's not even adequate. So,
all right, look, God bless you, sir. What you've done for me and therefore, my friends and my family, I don't mean just me, others, I bless you, Dr. Michael Richman. Contactable through DennisPrager.com, through a Center for Lipid Management and Cholesterol Management. Thank you, doctor. We continue.
Thank you for having me.